Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. Incidentally, this is my first visit to Santa Barbara. I have had no chance before to be here, but it's my great pleasure to say something about how to recuperate on the many young theorists. Okay, let's start. Wow. Okay, here we go. Today I'm going to talk about the mainly disorder effect on the high density cuprate. And the title is seems odd, because I'm going to talk about how the disorder affects the electronic state of high density cuprate, and eventually that such effect have a big influence on the TC of high density cuprate. These are my collaborators. For the photo emission, I collaborated with for a long time, collaboration with Professor Fujimori, and also that the samples and sample characterization that include the STM work in the ICE in Tsukuba, Japan. And Hiroshi Esaki, the main player for this work, and he was my postdoc student. And of course, there's also a long-term collaboration with Seamus Davis group from STM, and that's very powerful to investigate the disorder effect, local ethnic structure influenced by disorders. And Tomo Uemura, he's also a long-term collaborator of mine. And I asked him to make a neurothermal measurement on our samples and the action as well. Okay. The background of my research of disorder effect is that following. As you well know, that the TC, rise of TC just stopped in 1993. So that is the highest value so far, 135 at ambient pressure. But when we applied very high pressure, the TC went up to 150 or 160 or something like that. Anyway, that my feeling that the TC is so low compared with the gap magnitude of the high TC cuprate, 50 millielectron was a very typical value of gap magnitude of the high-tech cuprate that was seen by STM as well as photo emission measurement. So that if you apply the mean field theoretical treatment, delta 50 millielectron would just correspond to the 300 K, that is room temperature. This is the cartoon. This is the Seamus Davis gap map. You can see that the green area, the gap magnitude is 50 millielectron volt. So that if we actually realize, we can realize that bulk superconductivity with such a large gap, we get now room temperature superconductor. Of course, this is a joke. Anyway, that there is still room to make optimistic opinion to raise the TC of the high TC cuprate, because that 2 delta over KBTC values is still very high in the 8 to 10. On the other hand, for the another group of the high TC superconductors, magnesium diboride, T60, the gap magnitude is the one order of magnitude smaller. And actually, TC values is just correspond the mean, close to the mean field value. So that in this high TC material, that almost that the maximum value of TC is actually realized in the real material, on the, in contrast to the high TC cuprate. Okay. So, again, that optimistic opinion that originally high TC cuprate should have a very high TC that is almost reaching to a room temperature. But never that in real material TC is so low. So, the question is why is the TC so low, high TC cuprate? This is my introduction. So that another feeling that coming from this table. That was summarized by Hiroshi Eisaki last year. You can see that the single layer cuprates and bilayer and trilayer cuprate. You will soon find that for single layer cuprate, TC range is very wide. When lower TC 26K and the highest TC is 95 degree K. On the other hand, that TC is relatively robust with a bilayer and trilayer material. So what's the difference between single layer from the other multilayer systems? One possibility is that in the one layer material, normally it has a disordered site nearby the Kapokshin plane. Of course, that is also the case with the bilayer and trilayer case. But as you can see it here, single layer cuprate is sandwiched from both sides, the disordered layer. On the other hand, the bilayer cuprate has only one nearby site, which is disordered. And the trilayer is much less, I expected less effect from the disorder, because the trilayer system has the inner layer, which is far distant from the disorder site outside the Kapokshin plane. So that this is circumstantial evidence for the, how disorder is so important at high TC cuprate. But the problem is with the experiment. Okay, so we all know, or we feel that out-of-plane disorder, out-of-plane means that outside the Kapokshin plane disorder, that is quite the general property of high cuprate material, because we have to introduce disorder in order to get doping into the Kapokshin plane, so that disorder in many cases is indispensable to realize high cuprate. And we have a feeling that apical oxygen might be important, have some role to the realized TC, and also tilt of the Kapokshin octahedra might be also important. That is also evidenced by the stripe type ordering. But unfortunately, so far we have no convincing data that showed clearly how the disorder outside the Kapokshin plane real affect. Well, there is no quantitative data how the disorder affects the TC values of this cuprate. And I'm going to show you that one very clear evidence for that how the disorder affects actually the TC value of cuprate. And I will going to discuss that what the effect of the disorder on the electronic structure. I wanted to extract one important parameter that influenced greatly on the TC value of the cuprate. That is, I call the T prime physics. T prime parameter is the second nearest neighbor Hopping matrix element, which is very sensitive to the environment of the Kapokshin plane. Okay. The device we use to investigate disorder effects, the Bismuth 2201 system, single layer Bismuth cuprates. We intentionally, in a controlled way, introduce the disorder by substituting strontium with the rare earth element. Rare earth has a different ionic radius from the strontium, so that if we go to the larger number, atomic numbers, then the ionic radius of the rare earth shrinks, so that there is increased mismatch when we go from lanthanum to gadolinium. In this way, we can introduce disorder due to the mismatch of the strontium site. And a similar strategy was taken by Atfield several years ago. Okay.
Well, is it known that the ionic state of the rare earth substitution atoms is the same as the strontium?
No. Rare earth ionic state at the 3+. That is different. That because
they're all the same but different than the
right, right. And the Atfield and his collaborators investigated a similar type of effect in the lanthanum 214 system. They substituted many various elements in the lanthanum site with neodymium, and for strontium site with the calcium barium. And they actually show that TC actually goes down when the disorder increases. Disorder is measured by this, the variance of ionic radius at a specific site. In this case, a lanthanum or a strontium site. So the sigma is defined by square mean minus mean squared. Okay? This is the variance.
And
we take the same strategy for the bismuth 221 system. Okay. Wow. Determined the sigma? Well, yet there is a table from ionic radius. That is, yeah. Yeah. And we know that the amount of neodymium substitutes and also the strontium, calcium, barium, and. Yeah. Oh, I don't remember. Anyway, this is the main line. Okay, please neglect that.
But the mean radius was kept constant, right, in this study?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the point of the atfield. That the average ionic radius is kept constant in this series of samples. Only the variance is changed. But in our case,
okay.
Yeah.
What does bracket mean?
Average. Statistical.
R or average R squared?
Four.
Then what do you term?
TC.
R squared average and R average is
independent of doping?
No. Doping they fixed that by this composition, 0.15.
How many things with different radius determine sigma?
Exactly.
TC, you have to determine experimentally for that given sigma that you control.
Doping is kept constant in the series of. Yeah, the same strategy we took because the lanthanum content is fixed to 0.4. So the 20% strontium is substituted by rare. No. Okay, the advantage of this bismuth 221 material is that the fourfold. First, unfortunately, in the atfield data, it taken at the lanthanum 214 system. As you well know that when lanthanum is substituted with neodymium, usually that the neodymium stabilizes tripod. So that in one sense, this decrease might be a consequence of the competition between superconductivity and the static stride. But on the other hand, in the bismuth 2201 system, there is no evidence, at least experimental evidence, for stride ordering. So that we are free from stride ordering in the bismuth 2201. And also we have, we fixed the rare content 0.4, and also that the lanthanum substitution to the strontium oxide layer that bring that extra bismuth that is used to lie in this layer went back to the original position. So that cationic ratio also fixed when we introduce lanthanum 3+ into the strontium oxide layer. So that carrier density and the hole density can be kept constant. And also that bismuth, advantage of bismuth 2201, we have a very good cleavage plane so that we can make use of this STM as well as ARPET measurement. And also that the difference from the bismuth 2212 superconductor, bilayer superconductor, which is very anisotropic superconductor, and so that the pinning of vortices is very weak, so that normally that mu SRO measurements to estimate the superfluid density is very difficult for the bismuth 2212. But the bismuth 2201 is different. It's not a case because due to the disorder, vortex pinning is so strong that we can make measurement on the mu SRO to estimate superfluid density. Also, as I said to you before, that single layer system is very sensitive to the disorder in the environment or nearby the topological planes. So that these advantages make us to analyze quantitatively the effect of disorder in this system. This is to fix the whole density at optimal dose. If we decrease the rare earth composition, the whole density increases. Because that is the same as question me that lanthanum is 3 plus. So that more lanthanum introduction that decreases the whole density. So the, yeah. Lanthanum? Yeah, that's quite sure, because we analyze by some analytic technique.
Sorry, do we know that the lanthanum don't cluster together?
We can also check that quite easily, because lanthanum has a very large atomic number, so that any analysis can be applied here. Okay. First, I'll show you that Hall effect. Hall effect for 3 types of samples. You can see that for 3 types of samples, the Hall effect are almost identical, both magnitude and temperature dependent. That is in one evidence for the we can keep the carrier density constant in the series of materials. And of course, that someone will claim that Hall constant is a DC value, so that it dominates but the only nodal with a particle, so that we apply the optical method to measure the high frequency conductivity, and also we have confirmed that optical conductivity over the very wide frequency region almost coincides among these 3 samples, so that disorder does not affect the spectral weight of the optical conductivity. That is another evidence for the constant carrier density. Okay, this is resistivity and susceptibility measurement. You can see that from bottom to the up, disorder is increased. Disorder is measured by sigma square, that is the variance of the radius at the shunting site. You can see the very gradual increase of the residual part of resistivity. And most amazing, the TC value. That is originally for the lanthanum, which had this disorder in our system, which has TC at 34K or something like that. You can see when we increase the disorder, you can see that the appreciable decrease of the TC value. That is also confirmed by the susceptibility measurement. You can see that the lanthanum substitute material 34K, and for the gadolinium material for the only the 10 or 12K, so that TC is suppressed by increasing disorder.
Was in each case the, the heat treatment carried out in order to optimize?
Yeah, exactly, we did.
And the slope of resistivity is the same?
Yeah, you can see that, almost a parallel shift. So that this is a another evidence for the constant carrier density.
What happens to the average lattice constant that you're doing?
Average lattice constant, of course, the decreases because the lanthanum rare earth ionic radius decreases in the increase in disorder.
So the purple curve has
the
smaller lattice constant.
Right. That's only smaller change. Because only the 20% is substituted on the strontium side. Well, and also that one should note that this is the European case. Europium is the least magnetic among the rare earth ions, but europium is not an exceptional behavior. So that we can rule out magnetic origin of the TC decrease. So that this is a quite systematic decrease coming from the increase of disorder. Oh, that also check. That, also that the extra oxygen delta it was kept constant by carefully heat treatment. But of course, it's very difficult to exactly estimate the excessive spin value. Anyway, that the other experimental result just guarantees.
Do you know where the location of excess
oxygen? Location of excess oxygen in the Bismuth oxygen plane. Okay, he knows very well. Okay. Okay.
Can you make two different compounds with the same sigma squared? Okay. One of them will have, let's say, 0.4.
Uh-huh.
The other will have, the one with 0.2.
Okay. Yeah.
The same sigma squared.
Oh, okay.
So, will they have different DC, same DC?
No. Be careful. If we make the sigma squared constant, you know, to that, we have to change the lanthanum content.
So you can change lanthanum, instead of lanthanum 0.4, you can say put lanthanum 0.3, gadolinium 0.1.
No, that is not possible. Yeah, right, okay. Yeah, we have a, yeah. Same thing.
I'm sure.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. You are sure. Okay. All right. So we come back to the resistivity data. Yeah, actually, that the resistivity, residual part of resistivity increase the increasing disorder. But if we look carefully on the magnitude of the residual resistivity, that should be compared with the in-plane disorder that is introduced by zinc substitution. We have found that this is a lanthanum 214 case. Then 2% zinc, that of course increased, that this amount of residual part is increased by 2% zinc substitution. And in order to get such a large value of residual resistivity, we need 20% of lanthanum substitution. So that in that sense that disorder, if disorder works as a carrier scatterer, then the lanthanum disorder or rare disorder much weaker scattering center as compared with the zinc in-plane disorder. So if we summarize our result, yeah, actually the disorder introduces the residual resistivity with a very small, so that the disorder actually works at very weak scattering centers. Yeah, it's a quite nice insight from Doug Scarpin and Hirschfeld. Yeah, disorder actually, this type of disorder actually works at the elastic forward scatterer for the carriers, at least for nodal crater particles. Then the natural question that if this type of disorder also act as a weak scattering center for anti-nodal quasi particles, then we never expect that TC decrease with such a large amount, because that for the anti-nodal quasi particle is very important player for determining supergrid density or supergrid condensation. So that if the elastic forward scattering also affect the quasi particle state, then we expect almost no change in TC value, because that there's no chance for change the sign of the gap, D-wave gap. So that makes the TC constant. On the other hand, the actual situation, TC decreases so much, almost that in the case of the European, the TC almost halved from the lanthanum case. So that we have to think about the quite special role of the disorder, specifically to the anti-nodal quasi particles. Okay, one hint from Newton measurement. We prepared the two samples, lanthanum substitute, D221, and European substitute. That is because the European is less magnetic, so that it's very useful for the mu-ether measurement. On the other hand, TC value is 34 for the lanthanum case, and 15 for the European case. And this is the result of universal by Tom Uemura. And this arrow shows the superfluid density estimate from the universal. You can see that when, if you compare the Ransom case with European case, TC values are almost half in the European case. And also the superfluid density estimate from the universal is halved. So that this TC decrease is closely connected to the decrease of the superfluid density. This is, okay.
But is the key point you're trying to make here that although you're driving the superfluid density down, you don't have a lot of Coulomb scattering from the substitution?
I don't get your point.
So you showed in the previous slide.
Yeah.
That you, in several previous slides.
Yeah.
That you can impact TC, and here you can impact the superfluid density.
Yeah.
But you do not believe that it's strong Coulomb scattering from the Is that correct?
Well, maybe the service to is have more proper.
I don't see how you can tell okay. What the nature of the scattering.
No, I was asking what is the proposition in mind was, not what was demonstrated.
Yeah, anyway, for nodal crystalline particles, that the scattering is very weak. In that sense, that probably elastic force scattering makes that the Coulombic potential is not so effective for the scattering, at least nodal crystal particles. But I don't know that. What about the anti-nodal one?
Can I make a comment?
Okay, sure.
I mean, actually, the scattering is stronger effectively for the nodal particles.
Yeah.
They automatically scatter from one side to the other.
Yeah.
And the question is, the forward scattering in the estimate case is the quantitative one.
Right.
You have to measure carefully what the rate of suppression of TC is compared to the rate of suppression of superfluid density. And presumably the out-of-plane scattering is simply more forward than the in-plane scattering.
Yeah. Okay. Let me proceed to the STM measurement. This is the work of the Tsukuba people. So that Tsukuba people unfortunately has such a amazing resolution as compared with the CMS Davis group. But they could took the gap net in the sample along some lines. You can see the gap variation is very, very strong. You can see that here there is a small gap region. Okay, this is for the STM gap map for the Ransom system. This is a 34 again, and also with gadolinium system to compare with the effective disorder. This is a 14K. Okay, you can see that the gap magnitude varies so much along some line. This is a scale that this is 10 nanometer, 100. Angstrom scale, you can see such a strong variation at just the CMS Davis observed for the bismuth 2212 system. You can see in this region the gap magnitude is very wide, but there is no coherence field that shows the super fluid. On the other hand, for the narrow gap region, you can see the coherence field. And if we compare the Ransom case with the gadolinium substitute case, you can see that this coherent part, or small gap region, decreased clearly, obviously decreases. So the index is consistent with the universal result, so that the strong disorder kills the superconducting region, at least. That is, eventually that decreases the superfluid density. So this result is also consistent with the universal result. So that in that sense, that the disorder kills the superconducting region and transfer that region to the so-called shield gap region.
Excuse me?
Okay.
This is taken deep inside the superconducting state at very low temperatures?
Yeah, this is taken at 9K, that's well below the TC value, even in the gadolinium case.
Okay.
Okay, if you close up the superconducting region, you can see the clearly decrease of the superconducting area in the sample surfaces, at least in the Bismuth-221 system. So that the disorder actually decreased the superconducting region, and then finally, this is a summary of our result. Yeah, out-of-plane disorder, actually, what the effect of the out-of-plane disorder is that the increase of the field gap, the area in the sample, which give rise to the decrease of superfluid density, and decrease of superfluid density is connected to the apparently decrease with the PC value. So that we have shown you that disorder in Bismuth-221 actually have a very large effect on the superconducting state of the high tissue cuprate, Bismuth-221. Okay, talk about Bismuth-221-2 system. Okay. Yeah.
I wonder if the reaction is more quantitative or negative for this figure.
Yeah.
But also for coherence in this case is there.
Yeah.
How much in the PC and also the area you mentioned. And also even the pseudo
Okay. Unfortunately that Wow. That's very difficult to answer. Okay. Anyway, that qualitative argument that area of the superconducting region is decreasing, that only we can say from this result. And that is consistent with the mu SR result.
So there you have
the
coherence the system does not change. That's what you're saying.
Okay, I'll come back to this point later. Okay.
Starting point is a material that already is disordered, and then you're enhancing the disorder in a particular way.
Right, right, yeah.
And that you have this shift that you just described. Can you now go backward and extrapolate to the hypothetical situation where you don't have disorder to start off with and estimate what the...
Yeah, that is a good question. I'll go back to that point as well as to answering his question.
Suppose you have variation
over a few nanometer scale. Yeah.
And how can you have,
decrease
of super
gradient? Yeah. Always I compared with the Ransom case. This is already much disordered. Yeah, that is starting point. So that I compared with the more disordered case, gadolinium case. So you know, when we compare two cases, the difference is clear. In the more disordered case, the superfluid density decreases. That's what I can say from these two figures.
This is variating gap, not superfluid density.
Yeah, anyway, that in the case of Bismuth-221-2, we have experienced that if we count the portion of the superconducting region, that's just proportional to the superfluid density estimated independently from other measurements. That is good correlation.
Because the mu SR is probing sort of an internal distribution of magnetic field.
Okay.
If it's only disorder,
mu SR
may reflect disorder.
Yeah, you are quite right. Yeah. Yeah, anyway, this is the experience. Okay. Let me start with only a few words on the Bismuth-221-2 system. Okay.
So, if I just take a very simple minded
example,
I have a super gap, and then somewhere in that super gap area, eventually super gap comes up. So, you're not completely disordered. Reduce the area where superconductivity can appear, and supergap is the less sensitive to the system.
Yeah.
Is that the picture that should carry out?
No. Unfortunately, at the moment, we cannot do that because in this STM measurement, we can specify the position that exact disorder, unfortunately. Yeah, so that this is the average argument. Okay, this one 2212. Okay, details will be presented by Seamus Davis this afternoon, so that you can hear more details on this work. And the Seamus Davis group, the particularly that Kyle McElroy, has succeeded to identify the position of the disorder centered in Bismarck 2212. Disorder, of course, the main disorder site is located in Bismarck Toxin plane. And Kyle has successfully identified the position that is the just between the Bismarck Toxin plane and strontium oxygen planes. That location of the extra oxygen that is dopant in the system is not just on the Bismarck oxygen plane. Yeah, that is one point. And they identified from this very broad peak at 0.9 electron volt in the minus bias side. Okay, this is one point. And then proceed to look for the correlation between the gap map and the location of the extra oxygen or dopant site. Of course, the disorder is mainly the Bismarck oxygen plane. And they found very good correlation between gap map and the location of the extra oxygen. You can clearly see that this is a red circle is the location of the dopant site. You can, this is a bright color region is a superconducting region, and the blue and black region the non-superconducting region. You can see that the dopant atom is just located just on the through the gap area, as if that the dopant to avoid the region of the superconducting coherent region. So that this is a very, quite similar result as we saw in the Bismarck 2201 case. Before that, do have a correlation with the sealed gap and the superconducting gap map. So the disorder likes the region where the sealed gap is stabilized. Okay, at first I thought that this gap map, or variation of the gap magnitude, or variation of the superconducting and non-superconducting region coming from the difference of carrier density, local difference of carrier density, but that is not the case. Seamus Davis clearly showed that carrier density or dopant density is almost constant all over the sample surface. That is evident from the spectral transfer. This is the conductance spectrum for the superconducting region and non-superconducting region. There is a clear spectral wave transfer when we move from the superconducting region to the non-superconducting region. And if we estimate the spectral weight, we find that constant spectral weight, so that this low energy spectral is just transferred to the high energy region when we move from the superconducting to the non-superconducting region. And also another evidence is that for the conductivity show the anisotropic background, which may be related to the carrier density. If we decrease the carrier density, the anisotropic factor increases, as just Phil Anderson and Pang showed in their CONDOMAT paper. And actually, the Seamus Davis estimated the anisotropic ratio, so-called Randelius ratio. And he found that everywhere that such a ratio is constant. So these are quite circumstantial evidences that the carrier density does not change locally. So that the carrier density, again, the constant on the Kapok-Shin planes. Even if that superconductivity developed in only some part of the sample surfaces.
What's the upper
energy limit for
upper energy limit? Yeah, something like here. 0.6.
So that's choosing a big energy scale compared to the gap energy.
Yeah, sure.
You can go up to just below the impurity scale, get the same color.
Yeah.
So it looks like the amount of weight that shifted is bigger on the negative bias side than the positive bias side. So what you're saying is if you integrate over a wide enough range, then you take into account the shifts. But the shifts are happening in an anisotropic way on an energy scale that's big compared to the gap. So, anyway, go ahead.
Well.
Right, and I think that's the point. Can I ask for a couple of questions?
Yeah.
You had a two-dimensional metallic band of density states as a constant.
Yeah.
The only way to see a change in the in the local density would be to measure where the bottom of the band is. Mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't see it in the density of states at any energy. All you would see is where the bottom. So if you would not be able to tell easily if there was a rigid shift of the band just looking at this energy window. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, but you can see where the bottom of the band is at the same location as the exit line. You can see the left. I'm sorry, you can see the top of the lower band, and you can see the bottom of the upper band.
Yeah.
High voltage.
Yeah, so what do you mean by upper
band?
What do you mean by upper band?
Well, all this action is a tiny density of things inside two bands that look like your upper band.
You
can see that steep rise
of temperature. Okay. Okay, sure. Okay. Okay, so that what we can imagine from this riddle? Yeah, there's quite similarity between bismuth 2212 and 2201. How this would affect the electronic state of the carbohydrogen plane. Yeah, actually, that in this 2212 case, this order here, that might affect the strontium oxygen, because the location of X2 exchange is just between the bismuth oxygen plane and the strontium oxygen plane. So that it's closer to the strontium oxygen than we have so far expected. So that it's quite easy to imagine that this disorder also affects the strontium oxygen plane. Specifically on the, for example, apical oxygen side, then it affects the carbohydrogen plane, like a bismuth 2201 case. Again, we can summarize like this way. Carrier density is kept constant, but this order had the effect on the portion of the field gap region and also supergrid region. And we can also conclude that disorder can make affect the supergrid density, which in turn affects the TC value. Okay, it might be quite interesting if we compare these two cases. That is the answer for both of the Chang and okay. Yeah, actually, bismuth 2201 is very more disorder. You can see the magnitude of the gap conduction map is very scattered from low gap region to the high gap region. On the other hand, the bismuth 2212 is also that this is the distributed in gap magnitude, but the distribution width is much narrower as compared with bismuth 2201. Particularly interesting that the bismuth 2201, which is the random substituted one, which is at the moment the optimized one, also have a very long tail in the high-end region. That means that still we have a residual disorder. Even we have optimized the disorder in the bismuth 2201 system. So that we can imagine that this is the responsible for the still lower TC in the bismuth 2201 case. So that if we erase this part, we expect that TC go up much higher, even in the bismuth 221 case, 2201 case. Okay, this is conclusion. And so that the following is my imagination or speculation, that what are important electronic parameters that affect the antinodal quasar particles and that make give rise to the such a substantial decrease of the TT values of this metal Kapok-Shen plane. Again, the circumstantial evidence is that when we compare the one layer, two layer, three layer material, and if we intentionally introduce disorder by substituting layers to the strontium in these three cases, unfortunately this is a thallium case, we can see that the effect of disorder just in the order of the number of layers. Single layer material, disorder has the maximal effect. And two-layer system, that is less than the single layer. And three-layer system is the least effect from disorder. Again, this is to give the evidence that why the strontium oxide, disorder in the strontium oxide layer affect the Kapok-Shen plane. Okay. If we take this fact into account, this result also indicates how to improve the TT value in each system. This is a trilayer system, thallium 1, 2, 2, 3 system. Normally, people believe that thallium 2 trilayer system has a maximum TT of 125. But clearly, that if we analyze the cation ratios, the normal 125K system has a barium deficiency. So that there is a disorder normally in the gallium oxide layer that is close to the Kapok-Shen plane. If we take the disorder effect into account and improve the ratio of the barium to thallium ratios, we can go up, the TC can go up to the 134. That is almost the world record realized 10 years ago for Mikulik compound. So this is one way to improve the TC in the high TC cuprate. If we can control disorder, the TC can go up. So that of course I expect that even the mercury compound, TC 135, is somehow disordered. If we improve the quality of the sample, we can go up to 150 or something. Okay, so that my last talk is that what is the parameter that influences it. This is also clear, already clear that antinodal region is very sensitive to disorder outside the Kapok-Shen plane. So the very naive picture is that the antinodal region is very sensitively dependent upon T prime parameters. This is the tight binding band calculation result. T prime just determines the pi zero point of the energy band. In other words, Van't Hoff singularity is located at the pi zero position. And T prime parameter that influence that the position of the Van't Hoff singularity. And also there is some empirical correlation that was found by LDA band calculation method. T prime value is empirically that has a correlation with the TC value among the various cuprate systems. And also that they show that apical position of apical ocean is very influential on the magnitude of T prime. That if apical ocean is distant from the Kapok-Shen plane, T prime gets larger. On the other hand, if the apical ocean is close to the Kapok-Shen plane, the T prime gets smaller.
How did they extract T prime?
T prime?
How did they extract T prime?
Based upon the analysis of LDA band calculation. Experimentally, that's a delicate problem to determine the T prime parameters. Also, in the strong correlation limit, you can see that even the undoped Motte insulator, T prime just located the band, lower Hubbard band position at pi zero point. So that my expectation, or my speculation is that this order actually affects the location of the apical oxygen by distorting some atomic positions near the disorder that affect the position of the apical oxygen, then that affects the cup oxygen plane through the variation of the T prime parameters. Okay, let me stop here. Okay, this is a summary of disorder effect. Out-of-plane disorder do have really effect on the high-GC superconductivity. That might be related to the lattice distortion around the disorder. And that connected to the T-prime parameter modulation, local modulation T-prime parameter. And T-prime parameter modulation is a possible source of an inhomogeneity observed by STM many people. And that just controls the ratio of the third gap region and superconducting region. And eventually that normally this order gives rise to the decrease in supergrid density, which again in turn gives rise to the decrease of TC value. So that if we look at in the opposite way, if we can decrease the disorder in the high tension cube rate, we have a chance to raise the TC value, high tension cube rate, hopefully to the near to the room temperature superconductivity. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's a very good question, but unfortunately I have no idea on that because Bismuth 2201 is not suitable for the analyzer T star temperature. We have no way to determine T star in the Bismuth 2201 because it's so much disordered. Okay.
You have some evidence when you showed the histogram of delta.
Yeah.
That should give an estimate of what
this is. Yeah, that is the energy scale. That has nothing to do with the temperature scale. It, yeah.
I have a question about the histograms. You showed a very narrow histogram for the 2212.
One, two, yeah.
And a very broad one for the 2201.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that would say that if I, you know, relate delta to a temperature scale,
yeah,
the pseudograph scale in 2201 should be much higher.
Much higher. Yeah, that is quite natural expectation, but distribution is so wide. How do we can we determine the T star? There is no unique T star. If we correlate with the gap magnitude with the temperature scale T star.
Right. So when you say T star would be dominated by the larger delta value. T star is basically as it comes down in temperature, when you start seeing a signature of the gap, regardless of what location the gap
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
If you look at a property that averages over the bulk and only a small fraction has this large gap, then you may not see it in thermodynamic response.
Yeah, so that in some part the T star might be higher, but in other areas.
So this histogram, going back to my earlier question,
yeah.
So when you see the gadolinium system,
yeah. Yeah, in the gadolinium system, well, that is very terrible. We have a very narrow, very small gap region, and yeah, the actually what happened in the gadolinium system that this part increases histogram, and the superconducting gap region shifts slightly to the lower energy region.
It's
where
more.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Right, right. Right, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah, you're quite right. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah, that should be done in future. At the moment we have no idea. Oxygen. Yeah. So the difference, of course, the Bismuth-201 case, we intentionally introduced disorder in the strontium oxide layer. But in the Bismuth-221-2, this is a natural disorder because the intruder introduced in order to get the whole doping. So that this is a quite different source of disorder.
And the location of this exodoxin, along C direction.
Yeah.
Along C direction, the location of this option, what kind of evidence, what can
Okay. Yeah, that totally depend upon the STM observation. There are no other evidences for the location on the exodoxin. Okay.
For the influence of the filters on the topic. If I might add one more, if I remember this, the way one explains the effect of the size of the rare earth ion is that you locally change the copper oxygen copper bond angle. So in all in the Hawking processes, the super exchange to one from copper oxygen to copper.
Yeah.
So there I could make a correlation to this particular bond angle variation in the plane. So for the C-prime phenomenon, connecting to the interstitial stories is not so clear.
Yeah.
Did you comment on this?
No, unfortunately that...
Two distinct stories so far. One is tightly connected.
Okay, that, yeah, that the copper oxygen bond angle is another important factor. But unfortunately we cannot do that because it's quite delicate. Only 20% of the strontium is subject to the lanthanum. So that we actually what happened is only if even if there is some change in the bond angle in the copper oxygen plane, we cannot detect that in the series of samples.
But the question would be, can one translate, let's say there is a gadolinium ion sitting somewhere.
Yeah.
Could I then say locally I have to expect how much the bond angle is varying? Because I could translate it to a variation of bond angle and maybe then the variation of Hawking's frame, the one that particular bond.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the true effect on the carrier motion, that's right. Even though I understand the experiment might be not possible, but the minimum effect on the copper bond angle would be important to take this as a parameter
okay.
to modulate the Hawking parameter, let's say in a multi-band model which will into our phases.
Okay, if I understand correctly that atkar oxygen had more influence on the T prime value.
Yeah.
On the other, kappa Hookian bond angle had not so large effect on the T prime parameter at least.
So it could be the same.
Yeah.
So
of course, that's my speculation that actually there is the disorder psyche difference between two systems. But anyway, that what we have actually observed is very similar between two systems. So that I also speculate that the similar situation in both cases, even if the disorder psyche difference between two. So that if we take into account such a similar experimental observation, that one possible explanation that whichever the disorder site is, there is the effect on the apical Hookian. Because that clearly we have seen that the position in the sense that clearly we have observed that the through gap magnitude, if the gap magnitude is larger, it becomes the through gap, not supercoming gap. So that might be correlated with the position of the flat band near anti-node. So that clearly that disorder control the position of the anti-node band. So that most relevant parameter in such a situation is T prime.
So T prime most affects the pseudo-gap.
Right.
You can have a sort of way of tuning T prime.
Yeah. Yeah, in some sense, this gap map is the T prime map as well. That is my speculation.
Okay, I have one further question.
Okay. Okay.
I want to raise an issue related to the velocity of your talk.
Yeah.
You call out some hope for us that if we can control the disorder, we can control the speed.
Yeah.
And maybe make it really high. We have at least one system that we know about which is very different, behaves differently than the system we've shown today.
Yeah. Why
this? I wondered if you want to have some, where we know that almost all of the disorder is desaturated.
How do you know that you can get rid of the
disorder? Oh, I don't know.
No, that's just disorder within microvolts of the fermion.
Well, you don't believe that the correlation estimate is
many hundreds of times? I think to determine that the disorder is absent, one needs an experiment.
But people doing NMR experiments.
They're also working on the
same thing. Okay, but
Okay. In the YBCU system, my feeling is that YBCU also disordered system. Because as you know, the very old data of the ion channeling, when we go to the superconducting state from above TC, there is some distortion taking place, even in the YBCO. That makes that some redistribution of the Kapuscian chain and the Kapuscian plane. NMR is not a good probe. It's a low energy probe, so that it's not so sensitive to the disorder.
Thank you.